Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, God. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hey, it's good to be here. Oh my, yes, no, our God is so amazing, and it's a wonder how he helps us day by day and hour by hour, and sometimes I guess we just need a couple little setbacks to realize just how wonderful our God is. I know last week I was sick, and then I had this nice cold, and on the weekend there was no way I could hardly talk. I could sort of, I guess you heard me on the prayer link, you know what I was talking like. And there was no way I could sing. I marveled I could whistle. I could whistle fine, but I sure couldn't sing. But oh, I just thank God that how he is so merciful to us and how he made our bodies to heal. And you know, he knows how to touch us afresh and give us that healing virtue, praise the Lord, that strength for the moment and for whatever is ahead. So praise the Lord. We are just blessed to be the children of the Lord, and so thankful that we know him. So thankful that we can put our faith, our trust, and hope in him. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, what a mighty God we serve, and we are blessed. Yes, we're here tonight to open up the Word of God, and I'm just going to believe that it's going to talk to our hearts here tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Just one more prayer here as we begin here and ask God to be here with this message. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you again for such an opportunity, Lord. And thank you that you got us here too, Lord. The snow is pretty deep right now. Oh, God, and oh, Lord, you know how to make a way with all these circumstances, Lord. And oh, God, not only did you bring us here, but I know that you know how to get us home. We just thank you, Lord. Oh, God, we thank you that we can put our faith, our trust, our hope in you, Jesus. And God, you know how to work out details, Lord. Sometimes, oh, and all the time, pretty much, there's so much beyond us. And we don't know what tomorrow may hold. But, oh, God, we just thank you that here we are tonight. Oh, God, we're here to open up your word. Oh, God, and we just ask that you would move in us, Lord. Oh, God, that you'd use this word for the furtherance of thy kingdom, Lord. Oh, God, that we might grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Lord. Oh, God, that we might be fruitful servants, Lord. Oh, God, and oh, God, when we stand before thee, have something to give thee back, Lord, that which you have so graciously extended unto us. This hope, Lord, oh God, this joy that we can sing, that we know that you've taken our sins, Lord, that you applied your blood, Lord. And we just pray, oh God, that you'd work, Lord. Oh God, take this message here tonight. Use it for thy name's sake and for thy glory. Let thy will be done. Oh God, prompt me as thou wouldest, Lord. And oh God, use it for thy name's sake, Lord, for I give it to thee in the name of Jesus. And ask for thy guidance and help, O Lord. Work in our hearts in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank the Lord. You know, it is so true. We don't know what a day may hold. And I know I was talking to Carla for a few minutes today concerning the death of her mother and all. And you know, they're farm people, and they all lived, you know, in the same area there, the same land, basically. Irma lived in her own house. Her husband had died 14 years ago or something. And, you know, the girls, her two daughters, were both on the property in various places. And anyway, they checked on her all the time. And Carla was telling me that, you know, her stretch was usually to be with her mother at 4:30 in the morning and be there until about 7:30. And so she was. And, you know, her mother was pretty good at that point. You know, there wasn't anything alarming at that moment at all. And then just down the road, just another little stretch, about 10 o'clock, when they checked again, she was gone. And, you know, it just, again, it just shows us that sometimes, you know, things can change mighty quickly. But praise the Lord, this dear woman, Irma, loved the Lord, was a servant of the Lord. You know, Carla would bring our materials home after a service and play whatever, or, you know, for her mother. And, you know, she always looked forward to the recordings. And, you know, she had a heart toward the Lord. I know years ago, of course, we had those services in Pickett. And there for several years, the gathering was in the Bradley home. There in their basement, there were quite a few people that would gather from time to time. And, of course, Pastor David did the teaching, and this went on for quite a few years. He actually went through the whole Bible with them. But praise the Lord, you know, it's a wonderful thing when you live your life and you've got good things to show. It was fruitful, and you know, you get to the end of it, and oh my, you've done your best. And praise the Lord, it's the Lord's timing and his way of rewarding his servant. So praise the Lord. Oh, we just don't know, but it's beautiful to hold on to God's promises and to put our trust in him. Oh, praise the Lord, he knows when it's time to take us home, when our work is done. Amen. And yeah, she just died in the chair, just like she was resting. And praise the Lord, God just took her home. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, with the Lord's help here, because I still probably, my voice does tend to wear out. So we're going to have a study here. I'm calling it, He Hath Appointed a Day. Amen. He hath appointed a day. And I'm hoping, I'm getting into some relevant scripture here that, you know, shows us the order of the Lord's coming and how it leads to the judgment day. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's so much in God's word. So I'm just kind of just covering where he led me today. So praise the Lord. Just know there's more beyond this. But let's give it a try here tonight and see how the Lord will direct us. Amen. Praise the Lord. He hath appointed a day. Okay. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, we love you, Jesus. Amen. There's some basics that we just want to go through at the moment, just as a running start here. We know that Hebrews 9 chapter verses 27 and 28 tell us, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment, and I guess I should give you an opportunity to get there. Maybe I should find it too, just in case here. Hebrews 9 here, 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Well, praise the Lord. Just two verses, but there's quite a bit in these two verses. First of all, he tells us there's an appointment that all human beings have, and that is that appointment once to die. And then it tells us in that second part of that verse, that which follows is the judgment. And, you know, it tells us in verse 28, and this is a wonderful thing. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And praise the Lord, we know that's what Calvary is all about. The Lord Jesus bearing our sins on the tree, on the cross of Calvary. Praise the Lord. And then because we've responded and we are believers, for those that are looking for him the second time, it says, unto them shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Praise the Lord. Unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So praise the Lord. We're able to give those sins over to the Lord Jesus. And praise the Lord, you know, that reality there, because we've been cleansed from our sins. We're looking for our Savior to come the second time. And yes, he's coming for those that look for him. Praise the Lord. And, you know, without sin unto salvation, because we've turned our lives over to the living God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we don't have that sin hanging about our neck. Praise the Lord. All right, let's go to another place here. To the Psalms here. And the 9th chapter. There's a lot about the judgment in these Psalms. And oh my, I could go from one place to the next and keep reading and reading. But we won't quite read that much here tonight. But let's look here at Psalms, the 9th chapter. And note a few verses here in this 9th chapter of Psalms. So here, I guess we'll get a running start and start with the first verse. I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. And that tells us a lot. There's just so much in each and every verse, it seems. For thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sattest in the throne, judging right. Thou hast rebuked the heathen. Thou hast destroyed the wicked. Thou hast put out their name forever and ever. And of course, these verses are prophetic in the extent that, you know, this time period is coming forth. And, you know, we haven't fully seen the end of sin yet. And, you know, the destruction of the wicked, but believe me, it's going to come forth. It's going to come forth, and it's way closer than most people want to think. So he goes on to say, verse 6, O thou enemy, destructions are come to a perpetual end, and thou hast destroyed cities, and their memorial is perished with them. But look at verse 7. Here it tells us, but the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. Oh, praise the Lord, you know, judges of this earth judge according to their own understanding, their own backgrounds, and what they put in their hearts. But the judge we're talking about, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who's coming back to this earth, oh, he's going to judge the world in righteousness. There's not going to be any errors on his part. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows the hearts a man, those that have lived and walked this earth, each and every one. And oh my, there's going to be no disputing with his judgment. What he declares will stand. There's not going to be a moment to argue with him and present another cause. No, because he is the righteous judge. And there it is, it tells us, but the Lord shall endure forever. Verse 7. He hath prepared his throne for judgment, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. Oh, yes, in all this chapter, it goes on to tell us in verse 17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. But you know, it's going to be such a difference for those that have feared the Lord and put their faith and trust in Him. Oh, it tells us in verse 18, for the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. And then, oh yes, this chapter ends. Arise, O Lord, let not man prevail. Let the heathen be judged in thy sight. Put them in fear, O Lord, that the nations may know themselves to be but men. Selah. Oh, yes, that day is coming forth. But praise the Lord, you know, there's such a contrast between those that fear the Lord and, oh, yes, with that fear, that regard, turn their lives over to the living God, knowing that we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And, you know, just to share this verse, I keep a turning here the last days, it seems. Here, Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, verse 12. One verse I just want you to note, because I've been thinking about this verse. And oh, it says, a glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. Oh, praise the Lord for those that put their trust and fear and hope in the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. It talks about this glorious high throne. And I can imagine it's so majestic. Oh, it's so tall. It covers so much, you know. Oh my, God only knows how high this throne is. But all that is also a throne of grace for the people of God. It is a place where we can go to present our needs to the living God, knowing that, oh, if we come to Him and believe Him and put these things, oh, to Him, we come to that throne of grace. Oh, we know that there's a sanctuary for the people of God, a place of safety, a place of refuge. Oh, yes, and as Hebrews put it, oh, yes, we know that it is a throne of grace for the people of God. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Paul wrote to the Hebrews here, verse 15 of Hebrews 4, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And then verse 16, so beautiful, it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Oh, that's so beautiful. Oh, that beautiful high throne that's established there. Oh, yes, in the presence of the Lord. And oh, yes, that throne that we all will give heed to at one point, because, yes, there's going to be a great high priest on that throne, Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, the one who is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, the one who was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. Oh, praise the Lord. He's going to be on that throne when we stand before Him, when we go before the judgment seat of Christ. And that leads me to just one more verse that I want to share before I get into the book of Acts here. And that's in Romans, the 14th chapter. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 14. Praise God. And I'm going down to verse 10. There's a question here. Romans 14, verse 10, it says in verse 10, "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." Oh yes, there's none excluded from that moment when we stand before the great throne. And oh yes, we don't want to overly criticize one another and be hard on one another. I know we have to judge righteous judgment. We have to know right from wrong. But oh my, sometimes there's a critical spirit that takes a brother or a sister in the Lord and just shreds them to pieces. And Paul is coming against this. And he's assuring us that, you know, in the long end, we're all going to stand before the Lord Jesus. We're all going to stand before that judgment seat of Christ and all give our personal account to God as he would require it. And oh, yes, therefore, we need to give heed and then consider, oh yes, that none of us are so above one another that you know that we're going to have special rights or privileges at that moment. For we know also, as we are taught in the Word of God, that there is no respect of persons with God. Amen. Oh, it's all going to be according to his righteous judgment. Amen. Amen. So praise the Lord. I'd like to go to Acts, the 17th chapter right now. And I think this is a very exciting portion of Scripture. Of course, there's a lot of adventure in the book of Acts anyway. But here in this 17th chapter, we have Paul on a missionary journey, and oh yes, he's gone here and he's gone there, and he has come to Athens. And oh my, he gives quite an amazing account here to the Athenians. And I think, you know, he said some things that are amazing, really, and things that kind of end a lot of disputes at times. So let's just kind of look at this right now. Let's go to Acts 17. And it tells us, looking at verse 16, as this account begins, it says, "Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him." And of course, that was Paul's manner on his journeys. He would at first go to the synagogues and, you know, work with the Jews and, you know, with hopes that he could pull some of them out of their deep Judaism concepts and help them to embrace the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ. But anyway, here he is, disputing in the synagogues, working with devout people, religious people. He was in the market, and he was talking to them in the marketplaces. It says in verse 18, "Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him, and some said, 'What will this babbler say?' Others some, 'He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection.'" So there's already a debate going about You know, and they're wondering what Paul is all about. You've got the two sets of philosophies here. You've got the Epicureans that, you know, believe that they should do everything possible to be happy. You know, if it caused them happiness, then do it. And then you have the Stoics who are just the opposite, and you know, they put the brakes on everything and, you know, feared to do anything, pretty much it seemed to me. But anyway, you've got these two different groups of philosophers here, and they're all wondering about Paul because he's talking about one named Jesus. And they hadn't heard about Jesus before. So they're puzzled and they're curious. And, you know, they're going to take him to Mars Hill. So he tells us, verse 19, "And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, May we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else, but either to tell or to hear some new thing." And of course, you know, we know this is a period of the philosophers, and you know, they were walking around, and that was their big goal in life. Well, I'm sure some of it was very sincere. What is life all about? You know, what's the meaning thereof? And you know, all the different things, and, you know, they developed different theories and philosophies and all this and that. But here is Paul's opportunity. So here they put Paul in the midst of Mars Hill. Let's look at this. Verse 22. "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you." And I could just sort of see this area here, Mars Hill, and I can reckon that, you know, there were just, you know, idols all over the place, you know, according to their gods and deities and everything else. And there among all of that, all their religious stuff, there was one specific altar that was designated to the unknown God. Marvel. They just left room there for what they didn't know. And here is Paul's wonderful opportunity to explain to them the Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. What a beautiful door was opened at that moment. So here it is. This is how he goes about it. Verse 24. "God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands." So already this is a departure from what would be expected. You know, if you had a religion, you would build a temple or some kind of edifice for your God. But here, as he's explaining Jesus Christ, he's telling them right off, I'm going to tell you about the Lord of heaven and earth. And he doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. Oh, I can imagine this got them curious. And then he went on, verse 25, "Neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything." You know, people in their superstitions, you know, you see the Buddha sometimes and you know, they'll have a little offering in front of the Buddha, perchance, you know, just maybe a dish with food or water or whatever, all you're just thinking they're going to help out their deity. But our God isn't like that. He doesn't need all of that, you know. He's beyond all of that. So here, Paul is explaining, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. And verse 26 is pretty interesting too. It says, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. Well, we live in a time when they're trying to switch things around, you know, change a person's DNA, and you know, it just they'd like to just take human life and make it, you know, part robot, you know, insert a little AI into the brain or wherever, and you know, or you know, some kind of nanotechnology where it goes to the bloodstream, like little robots all over the place, you know, telling people, if you could call them that at this point, you know, what to do. But oh my, God's got a toleration point. You know, he's not going to allow all their nonsense. But it says, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. And look at besides, and hath determined the times before appointed. Hey, who's in charge? God is in charge. He knows the times. He knows the end from the beginning. He's the one that's going to call the shots. And oh yes, when he says it's over, it's over. Oh yes, we're living in a world where they're trying to extend life like everything, and you know, come up with all kinds of possibilities. But oh my, they're not going to outsmart our God. No, he's got it all very well organized. He knows when the last appointed day is going to be. He knows what tomorrow is going to hold. Yes, he knows what's going to happen tonight. Amen. Oh my, God is not confused. And oh, he's not scrambling around and just waiting to see what man will do before he makes determinations. He's got it figured out. Amen. We better bow our knee to him. Yeah. Because he is in charge. And we are going to bow to him, like it or not, when it comes to the judgment seat. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. So he hath determined the times before appointed. And look at this, the bounds of their habitation. Oh, here we are, trying to make a one world, you know, just forget about boundaries, or forget about nations, you know, just bring everything together, you know, into, you know, one governing body, I guess, one world. But oh, there's a point to this that God will say, hey, I've had enough of your nonsense. And oh my, I'm the one that makes these determinations. I'm the one that puts you here. I'm the one that put these others there. You know, I'm the one that, you know, separated people into nations. And so, all of their thinking, all their imaginations is going to come to naught. Amen. Because yes, there is a God, oh yes, that is above all. Oh yes, and knows it all. And oh, has all power and all authority. Oh, he could crush man like an ant at any given time. You know, it's so needful. If we have any wisdom at all, we need to bow to our God and submit our lives. And praise the Lord, that's what verse 27 tells us. Oh yes, if you have any wisdom at all, Oh, if you have any fear of the Lord, oh, you better seek him while you can. You better call upon him while he's near. Amen, because there is an end to God's mercy and God's grace. Oh, yes, there's an end when he's going to say, I've had enough. You just have not responded. Oh, you've rejected. You've scorned. You've ridiculed. You mocked. And it's over. But oh, yes. Hopefully we'll have that kind of wisdom to seek the Lord. Yes, because he's in charge. He's calling the shots. He's going to end this world one of these days. And yes, it tells us in 27, verse 27, that they should seek the Lord. If haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Oh, the most wonderful thing that can happen in a person's life is to find the living God. And you know, I've talked to people, oh, that didn't even have a clue. In some cases. And all they knew is they needed help. I just think of Matt in this respect. And he told the story that things were not going well in his life. He'd had surgeries some desperate things, and you know, things weren't going well with jobs, and you know, he wasn't getting along with people, it didn't seem, and all kinds of things were going wrong. And he decided he was going to end his life. But you know, before he did, he called out to the living God. Oh God, if you're there, please hear me. Please help me. He didn't know much. But he called out, and God had mercy on him. It was like God touched his life and kind of put him in an euphoria and, you know, just began to work on him. He didn't even have a Bible. He didn't have knowledge. But, you know, God began a work in Matt and answered that desperate cry that came from his heart. Oh, when he needed, oh, some answer so quickly. Oh, yes, he was so desperate. God came to him. And down the road, somebody gave him some of Last Trumpet Ministry materials. And we had the privilege of meeting Matt. He spent a summer here, and yes, we saw him baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and praise the Lord, we studied quite a good portion of God's word together, and I believe he's still determined to serve the Lord. Amen. But praise the Lord, it's a wonderful thing when it just occurs to somebody, oh yes, there's a God. If I just cry to him, oh, perchance, he'll come and help me. And yes, that's the kind of God we serve. If we draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to us. That's his mercy and that's his grace. And he extends it when there's that cry from the heart. And oh, what a wonderful thing, oh, that they might feel after him. Oh, when you get in that realm where his presence comes down, and oh, you know with all your being that he's real, that he's genuine, that he's there, that he makes a difference in our lives. Oh, what a moment that is when we can feel and sense him and know, yes, for ourselves, because yes, he is a personal Savior. He came to save us as individuals from our sins. Amen. Oh, he came to call each and every one of us specifically unto himself and bring us to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. That happily, and happily meaning perhaps, they might feel after him and find him. Though he be not far from every one of us. Oh, praise the Lord. God is a spirit. And God, being a spirit, is everywhere. And so, you know, it's true. He's there. If you call out to him, he's there. He's there to meet your need. He's there to answer that cry in your heart. He's there to change you. He's there to heal your body. He's there to save your soul. He's there to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, that they should seek the Lord. Oh, that's wisdom, to call upon God. If haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Oh, praise the Lord. It's a wonderful thing to feel the presence of the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. That's a great secret in worshiping him. Oh, praise the Lord. He inhabits the praises of his people. And now, oh, yes, when we worship him, when we praise him, when we cry out to him, when we give him the honor and the glory, the praise that he so deserves, oh, praise the Lord. He inhabits those praises. Praise the Lord. He dwells in those praises. That's when things change. Amen. Oh, often that's when somebody's truly filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. And why is it so hard sometimes? Why is it so hard, to give honor and glory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Oh, the one that made us. Oh, the one that called us. The one that died for us. Oh, praise the Lord. Yes, so it's explained in verse 28 even more. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Oh, praise the Lord. He made man in his image. Oh, yes, that expectation that we would serve him, that we'd worship him. Oh, yes, that we would follow him. But praise the Lord. Sad to say, many do not have that realization or that desire. But oh, yes, when it just dawns on us, hey, I wouldn't be here if God had not made me. If he had not put me on this earth, I wouldn't be here. And, oh boy, furthermore, we wouldn't have hope in our earthen vessels had not God moved in us and helped us to see and understand. There's a veil that's on so many people where it's like they're blinded in the spiritual sense and they don't comprehend the goodness and the mercy of God. Oh, they're blinded to the reality of God's word. But oh, how things turn when we just, are willing to submit our hearts, our lives over to the living God and give it over to him. Oh, yes, in repentance. Oh, yes, letting him work in us and have his way in our lives, allowing him to change us. Praise the Lord. So here it is, these people on Mars Hill, these Athenians. Oh, Paul's explaining. Verse 29, for as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. You know, that's the heathen. They think that, you know, they've got to create gods with, you know, stone or metals or whatever all. You know, they've got to have something that they could see with their eyes in order to worship it. But not our God. He doesn't dwell in temples made with man's hands. He doesn't need, you know, some kind of edifice. He doesn't, you know, there's nothing any way that you can use to represent God. Yes. He's the Almighty One. He's the Creator. Oh, yes. And he's there. If you call upon him, if you put your trust in him and your hope in him, praise the Lord. Yeah, no, you can't compare him to anything of this world. like so many do, a Godhead that is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. Verse 30 tells us, in the times of this ignorance, God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent. Oh, that's the great need of the hour. That's what needs to happen. Oh, we are in such jeopardy in this world. Oh, sin has come to the full, and the folly and the foolishness and the insanity that's going on, and the things that people that think they're in charge are saying and doing. No, there is a need to repent. Oh, yes, God had such mercy on the Assyrians, the Ninevites, when they truly repented, even though they were grossly wicked and feared by others because of their great wickedness. God saw it. The preaching of Jonah. Oh, yes, when he began to tell them, oh, yeah, 40 days and God's coming to judge the city. Oh, yet 40 days, and you know it's going to be over. And oh, yes, the message got to the king, didn't it? Yes, he took off his robe. Oh, yes, he got himself in sackcloth and ashes. Oh, yes, he commanded them not to eat or drink. Oh, yes, he said, we better repent. We better stop doing these filthy things. We better get right, otherwise we're going to be judged. And God had respect to that. Yes, even such a one as the nasty Ninevites, oh yes, that formerly had not feared God. Oh yes, had done what they had wanted to do. Oh yes, were world conquerors. Oh yes, thinking they were pretty high and mighty, I suppose. But oh my, things change when people repent, when they really turn their life over to God. Oh, if this country would repent, if, oh yes, the people of this country would bend their knees in true submission to God, and oh yes, turn all their wickedness, all their rebellious ways, all their contrariness, all their philosophies of men, oh, if they begin to turn it over to God, things would change. God would have mercy. Amen. Amen. But that is the cry of the hour. Oh, that men everywhere need to repent. Bend the knee to God, surrendering the heart. Oh, yes. Crying out against the sin, the things that are in the heart that need to be given over to God. And so it is, because God hath appointed a day, as it tells us in verse 31, he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Oh, yes, Paul is telling the Athenians, there's a day, you have an appointment with that day. Oh, yes, the mighty one. Oh, yes, the true God. Oh, yes, he is going to judge this world in righteousness. Amen. And oh, he's going to judge it by that man whom he hath ordained. He's talking about the Lord Jesus, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he had raised him from the dead. Oh, praise the Lord. We serve a risen Savior. Amen. Oh, he's not a dead God by any means. No, he is alive and alive forevermore. And praise the Lord, as he came the first time to save us from our sins.
Amen.
He is coming the second time to judge us. Oh, praise the Lord, to judge the world in righteousness. Amen. So it will be. Oh, so it has been ordained, and so it will happen. And here we are. This world has that appointment. Oh, yes, it's forthcoming. We don't know the day or the hour, but oh my, we can see that it's ever closer, day by day and hour by hour. Amen.
Amen.
And praise the Lord. It would be wisdom to fear God and to get right. Amen. Oh yes, to do it while there still is opportunity. Amen. Let's go to Psalms 75 right now, because we're going to talk for a little bit, and I don't know how far I'll get into this tonight, but we're going to talk about what else happens at the time of the judgment. Amen. Let's look at Psalms 75 here. Amen. And let's see how the Lord allows us to go forth. Praise the Lord. It tells us here, Psalms chapter 75. Unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee do we give thanks. For that thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare. And then verse 2, I'd like us to note verse 2 here. Let's notice this carefully. It says, when I shall receive the congregation, I will judge uprightly. And then it tells us in verse 3, the earth and all the inhabitants thereof are dissolved. I bear up the pillars of it, Selah. Okay. So here, just a few words, and it actually telling us quite a bit. And I'm going to hopefully go back, but let's read a little bit more in this chapter. Verse 4, I said unto the fools, deal not foolishly, and to the wicked, lift not up the horn. Lift not up your horn on high. Speak not with a stiff neck. Okay, so he's talking to them that do not fear him. Oh, it's the fool that has said in his heart that there is no God. Oh, yes. Oh, it's the fear of the Lord that brings that wisdom to you. Oh, that need to get right and to fear God. But oh, yes, he's talking to the fools. He's telling them not to deal foolishly. And to the wicked, lift up the horn. Well, he's talking about their pride. Oh, yes, and you know their self-will and that self-control that they have where they, you know, don't want to bend the knee and get right with God or listen even. So, yes, lift not up your horn on high. Speak not with a stiff neck. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. You know where it comes from? Job talked about that empty place in the north, the 26th chapter of Job. Oh, yes, that empty place. That's where God is. That place in the north. Oh, yes, and that's where promotion comes from. It comes from God. True promotion, that is. It cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But look at this. But God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. Oh, people are just pawns in the hands of God. They may not realize it. You know, when Nebuchadnezzar's reign was over, it was over. And his grandson, Belshazzar, oh, you know, He went to that limit where, you know, he was going to have the big party and bring in all the vessels that they had taken from the temple in Jerusalem and drink wine in those vessels, those sacred vessels that had been dedicated to God, and praise their gods. Well, Belshazzar might have thought he could do that. But oh my, we know how we're told in the book of Daniel, there appeared handwriting on that wall. And all at once, oh my, and there was a realization. And finally, Daniel had to come and interpret because they didn't know what that handwriting meant. But they were weighed in the balance and found wanting. God had judged their kingdom, and he had declared, God declared, it was over. It was over. Yeah, Belshazzar, I don't, you know, however proud he was. It was over that night. The Medes and the Persians came in and took over Babylon. Amen. But that's our God. Oh, yes. He putteth down one and setteth up another. And it tells us in verse 8, for in the hand of the Lord there is a cup, and the wine is red. It is full of mixture, and he poureth out of the same, but the dregs thereof, all the wicked of the earth shall wring them out and drink them. Oh, yes, that cup of God's indignation. Oh, I can see. Oh, it's full to the brim. It's running over. The sin of the world has come to the full. And very soon, God's going to pour out his wrath, his indignation. It's going to be over for the people of this world. Oh, yes. The wicked of the earth shall wring them out and drink them. Oh, yes. Oh, they're going to get a taste, oh, of their sin, of their abominable ways, and all the disgusting things that they've conjured up and tried to put together. God will judge. Amen. And it tells us as this chapter ends, but I will declare forever, I will sing praises to the God of Jacob. All the horns of the wicked also will I cut off, but the horns of the righteous shall be exalted. Oh, praise the Lord. What side are you on? Amen. Oh, if the Lord be God, then serve him. Amen. Oh, sometimes there's people, oh, in the valley of decision, oh, not knowing what to do. But oh, yes, wisdom tells us we better get right while we yet have moments, while the Lord still extends mercy and grace, and oh, there's room, oh yes, to yet come to the living God and be saved. Amen. Oh yes, because he is a judge. And yes, there's coming this moment when he's going to receive the congregation, as it tells us in that second verse. And at that moment, he's going to judge uprightly. Amen. That congregation, that's speaking about the people of God, the family of God, God's sons and daughters. Oh, the children that he has brought forth. Oh, yes, you and I who've come to him in faith and believed in his promises and accepted. Oh, yes, his word. Amen. And bowed our knees and submitted our hearts to the living God. And oh, yes, from there went on to repent and to obey the scripture. Yes. Oh, yes. the water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus, and the wonderful infilling of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. And the continuing to walk with the Lord, to hold on to his promise. Oh, praise the Lord, because he's going to come one of these moments. He's going to receive the congregation. And at that point, it's going to be judgment time. It's going to be time to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And as this is happening, the earth and all the inhabitants thereof are dissolved. I bear up the pillars of it, Selah, here we're on this planet, this spinning planet. What's holding it up? It's the Word of God. Yes, it's our God who bears the pillars of this world. And you know, one of these days, he's going to remove those pillars. And all at once, it's going to collapse. Oh, yes, we have all of the imagery that is recorded there in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter. It tells us here, but the day of the Lord, I'm going to 2 Peter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. And then we're told here, verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Oh, praise the Lord, that's the hope of our heart. Because this earth, oh, is on a course of destruction. That day of the Lord is at hand. And oh, yes, the description, oh, is real here. It's going to come at a moment when most do not expect. The Lord Jesus is coming as a thief in the night. And at his coming, the heavens are going to pass away with a great noise. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. And the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Doesn't sound like there's anything left. Oh, and God's judgment truly begins to fall. But oh yes, at that time, he's also going to receive his people. Oh yes, there's hope for the child of God. Because yes, we know that there's an end to this world. But you know, I feel so sorry for these scientific minds who, you know, just see what's happening in this world and on this earth and you know, realize in reality that there's not a lot of hope that it's going to be here for years and years to come. They can see it. But, you know, they don't have hope in their heart. They don't have understanding. Most of them, it seems, to understand that God's going to be the one that removes this earth. Even the heavens that shall pass away with a great noise, and all those elements melting. Come on, everything on this earth is composed of elements. And so, there it is. everything dissolved. But for the child of God, there is a hope in our heart. Amen. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes. Sin has brought curses upon this earth. Even from the very beginning, we see the curses that came upon this earth. The book of Genesis there because of sin. And now, sin has run its course. It's almost over. Oh, yes, sin, oh, has caused this earth to come across this path of destruction. But praise the Lord, as children of God, oh, we know that there's something greater beyond. Oh, yes, we know that our God is going to bring forth a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Oh, praise the Lord. And that's the great hope of our hearts. Praise the Lord. It tells us as we continue in this third chapter of 2 Peter, verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are learned in unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. But oh, praise the Lord, it says in verse 17, ye therefore are beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord, the hope in our heart. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, at that moment when our Lord comes forth. Oh, yes. Behold, he cometh with clouds, as it tells us in Revelation, the first chapter and verse 7. And every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Oh, praise the Lord, that moment when our Savior breaks through the clouds, oh, the sky, that, oh, yes, coming back with those clouds of witnesses. Oh, praise the Lord, his people, oh, that have gone on. And, of course, with this, we have the resurrection of the dead. And, oh, yes, we know that we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them, the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Oh, praise the Lord. That's the hope of the child of God. Oh, yes. We know that sin has ran its course. It's almost over for this world. Oh, yes, that scale is going to be tipped one of these moments. Oh, yes, that trump of God is going to sound. And oh, yes, what a moment. That moment, either you're ready or you're not. There'll be no time to fix it. There'll be no more time to call upon the Lord at that moment. It, oh, it's come to its final end. And it tells us, as it's recorded in Revelation 22, he that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Oh, yes, it tells us here as the Lord Jesus is speaking through John. Oh, he says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, that moment. And I'm hoping that I'll have more to go forth and bring out next week if the Lord gives that opportunity. But yes. When our God receives the congregation, as it's told us in Psalm 75, he's going to judge uprightly. Oh, praise the Lord, and all this earth is coming to its end. The earth and all the inhabitants thereof are dissolved. I bear up the pillars of it. Selah. Oh, praise the Lord. At such a moment, it will mean everything to be right with God, to have it settled in our heart, to have given it all over to him in true repentance and surrendering to the will of God. Oh, thank God we still have a little space here, little space, but one of these days, very soon, that trump is going to sound and it will be over. Oh, yes, the King of Kings, the judge of this earth, shall come forth. And oh, yes, he will receive his congregation and he will judge uprightly. Oh, praise the Lord. He hath appointed a day and it is coming soon. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. Oh, God, I pray that you would talk to every heart, Lord. I pray that you would move in every one of us, Lord. Oh, God, give us, oh, Lord, that great desire to work forth and come forth and do that which pleases thee, Lord. Oh, God, every detail and everything, oh, yet needs, oh, God, to be done before this all ends. Oh, God, help us, Lord. Help us to put it all into thy hands and to be right with thee in the name of Jesus by the power of the blood. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise our God. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
In closing, we are going to open our chorus books to number 72 and sing "For He is Lord," number 72.
For he is Lord, he is Lord, he is risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.